Teaching is serious business. If we had opportunity, we would want to do the same thing in all the different areas of the country to help them with understanding of how things should be done. It's not like we don't know. It's just God has not called me to do that. But I was hoping that in the future, we would do seminars to teach people how to do things correctly. But this is more important. The gospel is way, way more important. All right, let's go before the Lord and ask for his blessing. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for this time that you've granted us with your people to go into your word, that you may help them and teach them the things of Christ Jesus, the matter of their salvation. Even from this text that we shall be looking into, I pray for help for myself and all these whom we have gathered. We thank you for those who have come here already and those who are here and those who shall hear the message. I pray for every one of us here who may be dealing with all kinds of different issues of life, that you help them, continue to strengthen them, and to remind them that you are the God of heaven and earth, and that you know your people, and you love your people, and you care for them, as you showed in the death of Christ, who came to be the surety of our salvation. We thank you, we honor you for all things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 5. Second Kings chapter 5. It is only 17 verses. God recorded and said, "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife," which means she was a servant of Naaman's wife. "Then she said to her mistress, 'If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy.' And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, 'Thus and thus says the girl who is from the land of Israel.' Then the king of Syria said, 'Go now, and I'll send a letter to the king of Israel.' So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, 'Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy.' And it happened, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me.' So it was, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean.' But Naaman became furious and went away and said, 'Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpa, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him. And he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. But he said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods but to the Lord. Yet in this thing may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. Then he said to him, go in peace. So he departed from him a short distance. And that is the word of the Lord. And when you read these things, they just sound like some story. Yeah? And that's the confusion. It doesn't make sense. It's just a story that seems to have been recorded that has nothing to do with Jesus, that has nothing to do with the cross, that seems to have nothing to do with your salvation. And yet, it is exactly just as I have preached in the previous message, as you shall see. Okay? So we have a lot of titles here. Number one title, but he was a leper. But he was a leper. A great man with leprosy. A great man with leprosy. A great man with leprosy. Number three, the simple prescription. The simple prescription. So these titles are coming from what is in the story. They are a summary of what the story is saying. And number four title is, and he was clean. And he was clean. So we come to the book of 2 Kings. And I've done a wonderful message from this book of Elisha with a woman who had died, with a woman whose husband had died, and he had left a debt that she could not pay. And the creditors were now coming to take her 2 sons as slaves so as to pay for the debt. And God, through Elisha, came to the rescue by giving the woman a prescription. The prescription was that she would go throughout all her neighborhood and look for the empty vessels, and they were to be brought into her house, and for the door of her house to be closed behind, and all those vessels that she went around the neighborhood to collect were to be filled from one small vessel. Imagine this. She went through the neighborhood and got all the empty vessels, some this big, small, medium. But all those vessels were to be filled from a little jar. So take a big gallon or big tank. You fill in the tank from this one and you go to the next one. How do you do that?
It's supposed to be the opposite. You're supposed to be feeling this from the big tank. But God says, go in the neighborhood and get all the empty vessels and fill them with the small one. Okay? So Elisha is the one who was commanded, who brought that prescription. So the woman was to sell some of that oil to redeem her sons. And the rest of the oil she was supposed to keep for herself. Yeah? So the small oil jar, in the smallness of it, in the humility of the smallness of it, it was the one that was filling all the other jars. No matter their sizes, it never ran out of oil, no matter how small it was. It was filling everything. That small jar. And that small jar is Christ Jesus. That is saying the humility of Christ, the simplicity and the sufficiency of God's grace. It fills up all the empty vessels, but it never runs out. God never runs out of grace. So now we go into the other things that God worked through the hands of Elisha. Elisha was a prophet after Elijah. Okay? So Elisha had a ministry that went beyond the borders of Israel. In other words, if Elisha was in Zimbabwe, his ministry would have been to neighboring countries, Zambia, Botswana, South Africa, Mozambique. And God is working this gospel ministry or testimony in the country of Syria. Yeah? So 2 Kings 5, beginning at 1, so we'll go straight to our text. Now Naaman, commander of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor. It means a mighty man of war. He was a strong man of war. But he was a leper. He was a military general. But he had a problem. He had leprosy. Naaman had a wonderful CV. He was a man of honor. A man of great accomplishment, an army commander of the king of Syria. So he was great in the eyes of his master. And I'm sure he was also great in the eyes of the people of Syria. Why? Because by him, the Lord had given victory to Syria. That is a strange statement. By him, the Lord had given victory to Syria over his own people, Israel. Syria was a pagan nation. It was worshiping the false gods. And yet it got victory over God's people by God's hand. What that means is, in any war situation, whoever wins, they won because of God. No one wins because of the superiority of their military. It never happens. It's God. Go and read Isaiah 10. You get some understanding from that. So Naaman was a mighty man of war, a very decorated general. And if that is all there was to say about him, then we would not have the story as God has given it. Naaman, in spite of all that he had done, he was a leper. He accomplished all things that he did as a man with leprosy. Leprosy, a very terrible disease. If you go and look on the internet, what it does.
We are not told the kind of leprosy that he had, because there are all kinds of forms of skin infections that come under the umbrella of leprosy. And Syria, not having been under the law, may not have isolated those people that had contracted leprosy or any skin disease, because under the law, if you had leprosy, you were supposed to be put in isolation. You were supposed to be put in leper village or a leper colony. They have done that many times over the many decades, where people with leprosy are isolated to their own place. But Naaman continued to work and to function as the condition allowed him to offer service to his nation. So leprosy, God is saying, leprosy is no respecter of persons. It doesn't care if one is high and mighty. It doesn't care if one is powerful or has money or seemingly beautiful, whatever. They are lepers. In other words, they are sinners. That's God's point. Verse 2. You want to see the story? Keep following. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. So the Syrians had gone to war on Israel and had brought back, they captured this young girl from the land of Israel, and she was given to be a servant of Naaman's wife. She became a housemaid for Naaman's wife. Verse 3. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." So the maidservant, this woman, this young girl, looked at the condition of her master, and she suggested that he could be helped if Naaman would go to Samaria. Samaria was the capital city of Israel, the northern kingdom. Israel was divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And Samaria was the capital city. And this is a very interesting suggestion, because it tells us that Naaman and his wife treated this girl so nice, so kindly, that she even sought for the best of the welfare of her master, even his health. And she told Naaman's wife that there was a prophet in Samaria who could help with her master's condition. And see this. The girl understood that she was a captive. And yet, she did not ask for her own freedom or to be paid in exchange for that information. Because she could have said, "I know a man who can deal with my master's issue. Pay me for that information." She sought to bring knowledge of a prophet who was in Samaria, a prophet who could bring healing to this condition of a master. So when you are reading the Bible and trying to understand the story, you have to identify, define who the people in the story are. Because God is hiding the truth by using these people. So who is this little girl who has no name? The girl has no name. But she testifies of the prophet who is in Israel, who heals leprosy. The girl is a picture of the Holy Spirit. The little girl was a servant. She was brought to Syria by God to testify of Elisha. the prophet of God. And the healing, that was with this man. I'm building the background so that you know where we're going. So the young girl obviously heard of the prophet before she was captured and made a servant in Syria. And at this time, there was no cure for leprosy. And in Israel, no one was ever healed of leprosy according to the Bible. And so to have leprosy was an ugly and desperate thing. One became unclean. You could not associate with anyone if you had the disease of leprosy. And when Jesus came in Luke 4, verse 27, this is what he said. He said, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." So Jesus knows the story. So this story has something to do with Jesus. If Jesus is quoting it, then we have to find the gospel from this story. So Jesus is saying, this story is true. Only Naaman the Syrian was healed in the history of Israel. There were many people with leprosy, but God healed only the one. Yeah? And Naaman was a Gentile. He was not an Israelite. So the woman, this young girl, comes and testifies as a picture of the Holy Spirit. Remember, I told you earlier about what the Holy Spirit actually talks about. The Holy Spirit testifies of Christ. He talks about salvation. And this little girl has such confidence that if her master goes to Israel and sees this prophet, he would be healed of his leprosy. The Holy Spirit testifies of the healing that is in Christ. The healing that is in Christ is the healing of salvation, of the payment of our sins, of the forgiveness of sins. That is the healing as far as the gospel is concerned. Okay? So you may have a situation right now that God has not granted you healing from, but that does not mean that you are not saved. God already healed you by forgiving your sins. So that has to be taught correctly, because if you go to some churches, they will say, your condition is not getting better because you are not saved. Your condition is not getting better because you do not have enough faith to be healed. That all is hogwash. They do not understand the matter of healing in the matter of the gospel. So the Holy Spirit brings testimony of a salvation that was done, and he directs us to Christ. The woman, the little girl, was telling Naaman that there was a man of God in Israel who heals leprosy. The Holy Spirit comes and testifies that there is a man by the name of Jesus who heals, who gives salvation from sin. You see the connection? So the young girl, even though she was an Israelite, did not direct her master to go and do the Ten Commandments for his leprosy to be cured. If anyone had asked him to go do the Ten Commandments for him to be cured, the man would have gone into bondage. Remember the woman with the issue of blood. He would have been crying out, unclean, 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 because that's what the law required. If you had leprosy, you were supposed to let everyone know that you were unclean. That's all you ever said. If you're coming through where people were, you were supposed to be saying, unclean, 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 unclean. I am so unclean. But that's what the law was given to do, for you and I to see our leprosy and to say, unclean, unclean, unclean. So my point is, if you bring someone under the law who has leprosy, in other words, who has sin, they cannot be helped. The law only condemns them as unclean. That's the function of the law. The law was given to show us that we have leprosy. Leprosy is just a picture that God is teaching, is showing us that's who we are spiritually, that we are unclean apart from Christ. Verse 4. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Naaman went in and told his master, the king of Syria, and he relayed what the girl from the land of Israel had said. Remember, I said the young girl was not from Syria, but she came to Syria to testify of the healing that could only be found in Israel. And so the Holy Spirit had to come to the world, come to the church of Christ to testify to them about Christ and his salvation. The Holy Spirit testifies of salvation, not of a new car or a new house. Yeah? So, if God is the one who had given victory to Syria through the hand of Naaman, it is also God who had brought this young girl to Syria and put her in Naaman's house. So the young girl was a gospel preacher. Because a gospel preacher only tells you of the healing of the salvation that is in Christ. She was a gospel preacher. And it is God's practice of bringing his preachers from distant lands. The young girl was not from Syria. She was captured in Israel and brought to Syria that she may preach the gospel in Syria for Naaman to be healed in Israel. And that's the same situation with myself. God made me a preacher of the gospel, not here in Zimbabwe, even though I was born and raised here. But he made me a preacher in America. Yeah? To testify of the same thing that I'm now speaking to you. The salvation that God has given in Christ. So I testify to you, even now, that there has been found a prophet in Israel by the name of Jesus, who alone heals leprosy as a matter of sin. Because leprosy, as I said, is not about your skin condition. It is not about going to the dermatologist and getting your skin taken care of, but it is a spiritual condition. The skin condition is only a picture. God is showing you things that you can't see spiritually. And he is making it easy for you and me to visualize the ugliness of sin. Leprosy does not look good. And sin does not look good on a person. That's who you are. Spiritually, you have a lot of leprosy. And something must be done. And unfortunately, there's nothing that you and I could do to help our own condition. Okay? You need this prophet. In the last message, we learned about Benjamin. Bring your brother, the one person. Bring your brother with you. If you do not bring your brother with you, you're not getting any food. I'm not talking to you. And here we're told of Elisha, another one person. So God is very much interested in the one person.
Yesterday we talked about, briefly, about David and Goliath. And Goliath says, I'm not going to fight all you people. Just bring me one person. Right? Because salvation is in the one person who is the surety. That is God. That's what God is saying. From Genesis to Revelation, he's pushing the same thing in different ways. Salvation can only come by one person. Not many people go into war. He only wants one to come and fight. Yeah? Let's go to verse 5. Then the king of Syria said, go now and I'll send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. So the king of Israel, of Syria, did not object to the request of Naaman. He was agreeable and sought to help his very faithful servant by writing a letter of recommendation, a letter written, as it were, coming from the president to introduce his man to the king that all may be well with him. See how much the king of Syria loved Naaman. He wrote a letter of recommendation to the king of Israel and said, may you receive my faithful servant and heal him. And Naaman took with him a lot of gifts, 10 talents of silver, 6 shekels of gold, and a change of clothing and all kinds of gifts. Very valuable things that he brought with him. Verse 7. All these things are important. You're going to see why. Verse 7. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. The king of Israel, his name was Joram, was one who was under the law. If you were Israelite, you were under the law. He was not happy with the letter. He was not happy with the letter. The king of Israel was thinking, you have leprosy. Where is your mask? You have COVID-19. You're going to spread. Why are you not shouting unclean, unclean? Because that's what the king of Israel would have known as someone who was under the law. Why are you coming to me with your leprosy? So the king of Israel was not happy with the whole operation. So to his mind, he's thinking, Syria wants to go to war with me. They want to fight against Israel. So he tore his clothes and said, I am not God who is able to kill and make alive. In other words, I am not able to save anyone. I have no ability to heal a man with leprosy. So what does that mean? The king here represents the law, because he is the king over the nation that is under the law. Israel was under the law. Syria was not under the law because those were Gentiles. So there's a contrast that we have to pay attention to. And the king of Israel presented with the case of leprosy, tore his clothes and said, I am not able to do it. Let me repeat that. When the king of Israel, representing the law of God, when he was presented with a man who had a disease of leprosy, he tore his clothes and said, do not come to me. I am not able to save you.
from your disease. Because salvation is not of law, but of God who shows mercy. The law is not able to make you righteous before God. The law cannot make a sinner righteous, which means cannot make them clean before God. The law cannot wash away your sins. It can remove the leprosy of sin. And if you come to the law for salvation, it says, you're coming to fight with me. You're seeking to fight with me. And so the law will condemn you because you're fighting with it. So there's no peace to be made between a sinner and the law. When the two come together, war breaks out. Oh, we have some good teaching. When the law comes together with sin, there's only one outcome, it's death. Romans 7. Romans 7, beginning at verse 5 and 6. Paul says, that's Apostle Paul, for when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So Apostle Paul is making a contrast between the law and what it brings and Christ and what he brings. The law brought death and Christ brought salvation. The law only brings death. The power of sin is in the law. That's 1 Corinthians 15. The power of sin is in the law. The law kills when you combine it with sin. Because the wages of sin is what? Is death. So the king of Israel said to the leper, get away from me. I cannot help you. Your matter is so serious that only God can help you. This leprosy that you have is a matter of grace. For God cannot help a sinner by their own merit, by their own goodness. Sin and merit do not go together. Only grace works in the same sentence with sin to produce life. Let me say that again. If you have sin plus law, that's death. Only grace plus sin gives life. If you put grace to sin, you have salvation. Grace is Christ. Grace is the cross of Christ. Only the cross of Christ deals with sin so as to produce salvation. Verse 8. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. See the difference between the king and Elisha. Elisha is a picture of Christ. And he mocks the king and says, why did you waste your time tearing your garments? You should have done the right thing and just sent the man to me in the first place so that he may know that there's a prophet in Israel. And that to say, sin has come so that we may know there's a savior in Christ Jesus. Leprosy was given to Naaman so that Syria may know that there was
a prophet of God in Israel.
And that means the law was a tutor to Christ. The law testified of Christ by acknowledging its own inability to serve. When the king said, "You're my God, that you come to me to seek salvation," that was the law saying to the sinner, "Don't come to me for your salvation from sin. Do not go to the law for salvation from sin. Go to the prophet." Elisha says, "Please let him come to me. Tell him to come to me." And the greater Elisha comes and says to all who are weary of their leprosy. In Matthew 11, 28 and 30, Elisha is Christ Jesus. And Jesus comes and he fulfills everything that Elisha was doing and says, "Come to me." Elisha says, "Tell the man to come to me." And Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You are laboring from your leprosy, from your sickness. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you find rest for your souls. Come to me. Come to Christ with all your burdens of sin, of leprosy, and I'll give you rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The burden of Christ is light because he has carried it himself. The burden of salvation is light because the work is done already. Yeah? So we cannot take someone who is a sinner to the law. This is what I'm saying in ways that you may understand. If you see a sister with a miniskirt, don't rebuke them because they're taking them back to the law. Because if they wear a long dress, they're going to think that it is good between them and God because they changed their own clothes. You're giving them the false hope. And if they were to give a testimony, they'll come and say, "Oh, I used to wear miniskirts, now I wear long dresses." And that has nothing to do with salvation. But there are a lot of people with long dresses who do not believe the gospel. If you preach Christ over time, Christ will drop the hemline for hair bit by bit by bit by bit by bit by bit. I'm not even lying. He will drop it. But don't drop it yourself. So the sinner is one who is heavy laden. They're carrying a heavy load. It makes people weary. People are weary in these churches. They just don't know how to escape. They don't know where to go. They came really thinking that this man was coming from God. This man, so-called prophet, had something for me from God. When you go to a church gathering, go to look for Christ. Go for you. What does this man have for me from God? They can just be talking in stories about their children. Their children can't help you. So Jesus has a yoke that's easy, that is light. Everyone is actually yoked to something. You're either yoked to the law or you're yoked to Christ. Jesus says, "Come to me. Come to me, you who are weary, and I'll give you rest for your souls." Because there's only rest in Christ. When people say, "Oh, rest in peace," who's peace? There's only the one Jesus who gives peace. Okay? Verse 9.
The Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. So Naaman has an entourage. He has the presidential motorcade. He went with his horses and chariots, and he stood at Elisha's house. See that Naaman did not initiate his own coming to Elisha to seek healing. Naaman did not come to Elisha by himself. He came through the knowledge that was given him by the slave girl. In other words, there's no person who comes to Christ by themselves. The Holy Spirit must bring you to the knowledge of Christ. The Holy Spirit must bring you to the knowledge of Christ. Otherwise, you're not coming. You're not coming. You're not coming. You could not sit in the heat of this day to hear about Jesus apart from the Holy Spirit bringing you. I'm not lying to you. God has to bring you. This is what Jesus said in John 6. John 6, 44 to 45. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. No one can come. And the Father who sent me, and I'll raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Everyone who has heard and learned from God the Father comes to Christ. Do you hear that? Did you see the formula of salvation? You only come to Christ because you have been taught by God the Father to come to him. Otherwise, Christ does not make sense to anyone. God has to teach us. Yeah? Verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and it shall be clean. I do not think Naaman sent any of his messengers to Elisha. They remained outside of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger of his own, a preacher. Naaman was given a preacher. A preacher sent to him with this message. Go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times. And your flesh shall be restored to you. You shall be clean. So the messenger of Elisha brought the prescription to the one who had leprosy and said, go to the river Jordan. And when you go there, wash 7 times and you shall be made well. Very simple. Get in the river, wash 7 times. And it's done. That's the preacher of the gospel. So the messenger that was sent by Elisha was a picture of the Holy Spirit coming from Christ, telling God's people, as many as should have their leprosy healed, to go and wash in the Jordan. A preacher cannot tell the truth of salvation from leprosy unless the Holy Spirit is with him. Yeah? We have a lot of preachers out there. They are not telling the truth. They are not giving the simple prescription. Go and wash in the Jordan. Yeah? They will get you to go to other rivers, but not the Jordan. Elisha says, go to the Jordan. But what is this Jordan River thing about? What is this Jordan? Is God saying, for you to be made right, you should take a trip and go to Jordan? Because I know a lot of foolishness is going on. People are going over to the Jordan. They are going over to Israel, thinking that they're going to find God in Israel. No, God is not in Israel. God is in heaven. God is here. because His Holy Spirit is in His people. You do not need to make a trip to Israel to find God. He is right here with us. Save your money. Elisha says, you go and wash. That's a very simple prescription of healing, and you shall be made clean. You shall be healed of your infection. You shall be justified from all your sins. And that is the matter of the story. This is not about miracles of healing. This was not a suggestion to open a water healing ministry. There's a lot of healing schools, right? Yeah, there's a healing school. There's no healing school. There's no salvation in the River Jordan. There's no salvation in any other river anywhere on this planet. This was speaking of something bigger than the River Jordan. This is a salvation class. Go and wash seven times means what? Seven means the perfect work of God. Remember, I told you that yesterday. So you see that over and over in the Bible, seven, 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 seven. So it is not the washing in the Jordan that made him well. And also, this is not saying water baptism removes sin. Water and baptism do not remove anybody's sin. It is only for those whose sins have already been removed. Water cannot remove sin. It is only the blood of Christ on the cross that removes sin. So how was Naaman healed? He was healed by the grace of God through faith in the God of Elisha, who gave the prescription. Elisha gave the prescription of salvation from leprosy, a simple prescription. I'm pushing the thing of simple prescription because people are complicating salvation. It is a simple prescription. And religious people hate the simplicity of this formula. They want you to do more things when you get to the Jordan. They want you to do more things when you get to the Jordan. And before you know it, you get to the Jordan and you still feel condemned. Verse 11. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I say to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. That is so funny. This is so funny. Read that verse 11 again. This is a very faithful testimony of those who have leprosy and have not yet understood the matter of God's way of salvation. Naaman was offended. He was angry at the simplicity of what was commanded him to do. Naaman turned from Elisha's house angry for two reasons. Number one, his pride had been offended by Elisha's simple gospel. Naaman had expected a cleansing ceremony in keeping with his dignity. He wanted to be called to the state house. He wanted a very elaborate ceremony with smoke machines, with candles, with burning incense, everything that is happening in the church. He thought he was such a dignified man. How could you just tell me to go wash in some river? I have the chariots. I have the gold. I have all these things. I am an army commander. I've defeated Israel. How can you not do something special for me? You can't just tell me to go wash. Yeah? What was the problem with Naaman? Naaman did not understand that he was
a man with leprosy who had been made great by God. Naaman was not a great man. He was a man with leprosy. That's where, or that's who he was. No matter his station of life, there was always one thing. He had leprosy. It doesn't matter how high you go in life, there's the one thing that you can't remove. You have leprosy. So leprosy, remember I said leprosy is a picture of sin. It's what you have first before any other station in this life because you were born in sin. As David said, I was brought forth in iniquity and in sin my mother conceived me. Yeah? So a lot of people have that same problem as Naaman had. They think they are not sinners, really. Look at me, I'm pretty. I'm cute. My grandmother taught me. I am from money. I am from a big, great family. I am good breed. God must need me in heaven. God must treat me differently from the rest. And God must agree with my own self-assessment of myself as I see myself in the mirror. And my mirror does not lie to me. And if I trip and fall, I must fall right in heaven. And the angels will hold me. And my dear brothers, sisters, we are not that important. We are not that cool. Leprosy runs through our veins. We are sinners. So Naaman had expectations. He had false expectations of what should happen in his cleansing. He was expecting some really elaborate cleansing ceremony. He expected to be sitting in some high place and to be honored by the man of God. You see, at some of these big churches around, they have the special chairs for those who give the most money to the church. Right? As if these are loved by God more than anybody else. They're sitting right there. I'm like, get off there. What are you thinking? Did you not hear what Jesus taught? That's Naaman. They want to be respected for who they are, even in the church of Christ. And God will not let that happen. But this is too funny. Let's hear this again. He, Elisha, this is verse 11, 12. He, that's Elisha, will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Naaman says he was watching too much Benny Hinn show. Elisha says, I want Elisha to come to me to lay his hands on me and do something wonderful. I want the man of God to come to me and do something wonderful that everybody will be blown away at my healing. That's not how it works. Salvation is in the simplicity and the sufficiency of grace alone, of Christ alone, as we shall see. But there's a second reason why Naaman was offended. Verse 12. Remember the first one I said it was because of his pride. But he says, I am a high government official. I have to have my own way of salvation. The second reason is verse 12. Are not Abana and the Pharpa, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. So Naaman was Not happy.
Because he had been instructed to get healing in the Jordan. A river that he said was unclean. It was unclean and not fit for a man of his honor. You can't have me wash in that river. So his leprosy had messed him big time. Even his evaluation of himself was bad, was false. He wanted to be made well in his own way, in his own favorite waters of the rivers of Syria. See the arrogance of Naaman. He is covered in leprosy. And he has the nerve to say, oh, the water here in Israel is not clean. You are the one who is unclean. The water is fine. Naaman, you have leprosy. Naaman, you are a sinner. And you are not worthy of God's grace. So Naaman wants to wash himself clean in his own gospel. Hear me. So. Naaman wants to be made clean in his own way, in his own gospel, but not in God's gospel. He does not like God's way of doing things. God says, go wash in the Jordan. Naaman says, no, I want to be washed in Syria. Yeah? So be careful of the rivers that are being taken to by the men of God. So what was really bad about the Jordan? Let us rephrase the statement by Naaman. If the waters of the rivers of Abana and Pharpa were clean, then it would mean that the waters of the Jordan were unclean. Right? That's his argument. The river Jordan is unclean, therefore the waters in Syria are clean. And so he did not like the idea to wash in a muddy river that he considered to be inferior or unclean to the rivers in his hometown. The water of Jordan, he thought, could possibly not do him any good. The waters of Jordan were muddy and could not do him any good. He did not like the prescription that he was given by this doctor. The waters of the Jordan, I'm hitting a point, were muddy. They did not look like the kind that could bring healing to a leper. What is that saying? It is saying the muddy Jordan River water was a picture of Christ. The waters of Jordan were pictures of Christ in the story. As we read earlier in Isaiah 53, remember what I said about Jesus. Let me read this again so that you understand what God is teaching. Isaiah 53, verse 1 to 3 says, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness or beauty. And when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Naaman is despising the muddy waters of the Jordan because he is despising Christ. The Christ was despised, the Christ who has to be revealed to a sinner for them to see and believe, to go to him for washing of their leprosy. No beauty in Christ Jesus that we should all flock to him, just as the waters of the Jordan were despised by Naaman. The mud waters spoke of the humility of Christ.
When you see mud, you don't think anything good is going to come from it. So the muddy waters are speaking to the foolishness of Christ, the foolishness of the gospel, the foolishness of the cross. Because it is only by the foolishness of the cross that healing has come to us. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The message of the cross is foolishness. That's the testimony of Naaman. 1 Corinthians 1:21 to 24. "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." The foolishness of this gospel, this is what Naaman was refusing. Because it sounded foolish to him to go and be cleansed from something that looked to be dirty to him. But we preach Christ crucified to the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. The Greeks was everybody else who was not a Jew. But to those who are called, both Greeks and Jews, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, to those who are called. The beauty of the gospel is only for those who are called. It's not for everyone. That's the truth of it. So Naaman is stumbling at the cross of Christ. He is stumbling at the foolishness of the gospel. And if he has to be saved, if he has to be healed, he must be made willing in the day of God's power to go and get God's prescription. So men and women stumble at this gospel because they think it has to be very complicated. They want the ceremony. I saw there's some guy who calls himself an apostle here. And people, some years back, brother tonight will know what I'm talking about. He told people that unless he himself had laid his hands on someone and baptized them, that person was not saved. So people were buying tickets or flying from England, from Australia, from America, from Canada to come and be baptized here to be saved. That's false. People think it's complicated. And God says, no, it's not complicated. Go and wash in the river. Don't bring your money. Don't bring anything, and you shall be saved. Let's hear Colossians 2. Colossians 2, 8 to 10. "Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power." Did you hear what God says? He says, you are complete in him. So do not allow people to play tricks on you. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, God says, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." The gospel is simple. That's what God is saying. The gospel is simple. Go wash in the Jordan. It's done.
So all teaching of grace, because the people who come and lie to you, they'll still say Jesus, they'll say grace, but they add a lot of things to it. And God says, no, you are already complete in Christ. Don't add anything. Amen. Do not be deceived by these people who add things to Christ. So to refuse to go to the Jordan is a denial of the sufficiency of grace to heal a person from their sin. Remember, the healing here is talking about salvation. It's not about physical healing of the person. So do not go. Get your money, the ticket that you had bought to go to the Jordan. You know, in Israel, they have a wailing wall where people travel and they go and cry all day. Because they believe that God hears them better when they're at this wall. So they go to the wailing wall and they kiss it. And COVID, and they kiss it. Unbelievers go to the wailing wall. Believers look to Christ alone, the author and finisher of faith. So the matter of the Jordan, as I said, was pointing to Christ. The matter was about healing or salvation that comes from the God-appointed object of faith. God is saying to Naaman at the time, if you should be saved from your leprosy, you have to follow my instruction. And my instruction is simple. I am giving my instruction through my prophet. Go and wash where I've told you to go and wash. It's the same thing that happened in the wilderness with Israel. Israel had come out of Egypt. They were in the wilderness and they got hungry, they got thirsty, they got very angry with God. They started to complain against God. And they said, well, why did you take us out of Egypt? Do you want to kill us here in the desert? Life in Egypt was good. We had watermelons, we had onions and garlic, we had all these wonderful things. And yet there were slaves in Egypt. They were lying. Yeah? So what did God do? God brought some fiery serpents, some snakes. Venomous snakes. And they started biting the people, and people started dying in the desert. So the people said to Moses, could you please pray to God for us that he may remove the serpents? And God said, no, I am not removing the serpents. Moses, make a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. If anyone looks at that bronze serpent, they shall be made well. That's God's prescription. Those who looked were made well from the venom. Those who did not look, they died. And yet, it was just a bronze serpent. And God is saying the same thing. Go into the Jordan, because I'm preaching something. The Jordan is talking about my son. The bronze serpent is talking about my son. Okay? They said to Moses, we are tired of this miserable bread. Remember, they were getting manna every day. They said, oh, we are tired of this miserable bread. Do you have some chicken in? Give me some chicken in. This manna, we've cooked it, we've boiled it, we have put peanut butter on it. We are tired of it. Give us some chicken in. And God says, okay, I'm going to kill you for that. I'm going to kill you. And they're being killed because they were refusing the testimony of Christ that was in the manna. The manna was given them for free every day. They did not work for it. So the manna represents Jesus. and they were denying Jesus, they wanted something else. And God says, oh, guess what? I'm going to give you something else that points you back to my son. You look up there and you shall be healed. Let's talk more about that. So God brought the fiery serpents to them to bite them. And the fiery serpents and the venom is a picture of sin. Because people die because of sin. And God is saying, the venom in the snake is a picture of sin. That's how sin kills you. Unless God gives you a solution in the bronze serpent. So the bronze serpent was made in the likeness of the serpents that were killing people. But itself, it did not have the venom. And that to say, salvation comes from Christ, who was made like us sinners, but he himself has no sin. Amen. Amen. And then Jesus would come in John 3 and says, just as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. So that any who looks to the raised Christ shall not die because of the sin in them. So do you understand what God is saying? God is saying all those things are pictures of Jesus. So if Naaman refuses to go to the Jordan, he is dead. If the children of Israel do not look to the serpent, they are dead. Because Christ alone is salvation. Verse 18. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? Naaman had some very wonderful servants. Pay attention to these faithful servants. These servants of Naaman had understanding. They reasoned this way and said respectfully, father, if the prophet of God had asked or told you to do something wonderful, something that would bring honor to your name, something big, would you not have believed him? So they're appealing to the sense of the army commander, because the army commander is used to doing only big things, things that are reported in the newspapers, on radio and TV, but not going to washing in the Jordan. That's not one of them. You're not going to tell people that Naaman washed himself in the Jordan. No. That reporter has to be fired. That reporter has to be called to the presidential office. Naaman is being humbled by being asked to do something that is seemingly below him, but for his own sake. So the servants of Naaman are excellent gospel preachers. What are they saying? They're persuading the sinner in Naaman who has leprosy to not seek some high and potent formulas and big and difficult tasks of salvation, but rather to submit to God's terms of salvation, to the simplicity of Christ and the foolishness of it. Let me explain that. The servants of Naaman are saying, master, take it easy. Follow this simple formula. Humble yourself before God and agree with what God says to be done. Agree with God's way of doing salvation. Even though it may seem foolish to you, but it is his way of doing it. The servants of Naaman are saying, master, do not complicate salvation. Do not complicate salvation. Submit to the simplicity of God's prescription. Just go wash and be clean. Unbelievers stumble at the gospel and they raise objections. When we tell them that it is of grace alone, they say, okay, so if you say it is of grace alone, what am I supposed to do? You have nothing to do. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to do nothing. What about people who drink? So what? If God wants them to stop drinking, he'll cause them to stop drinking. Yeah? What am I supposed to do? They are Naaman. They are the children of Naaman. They want to get cleaned in the gospels of their own particular churches, their own particular rivers, their church denominations. And I'm telling you today, no one makes it to heaven because of their church denomination.
Yes, amen.
Your denomination does not add, it does not help anything to your salvation. It does not. And that's one of the reasons why people don't come. When you say we have a conference, come and hear about Christ, they do not come. Because they're going to learn the truth that goes against their denomination. Because they've pledged loyalty not to Christ, but to their denomination, which cannot save them. That's why they do not come. I'm not lying. I've invited by now more than 2,000-3,000 people. Oh, you're coming. They're busy washing themselves somewhere. God does not honor church denominations. He only honors his prescription that he has given. Go wash and you shall be clean in the Jordan. Only in the blood of Christ is a sinner made clean. So the Jordan waters are representing Christ and they're representing the blood of Christ. Yeah? Here, this is 2 Corinthians 5. We're almost there. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, not charging us with our sins, and has committed to us the word of this reconciliation, which means the word of this gospel. So what I'm telling you is what God has already done. He has already reconciled himself through Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This is a call to all those who have been given ears to hear to come to Christ. To come to Christ. The servants of Naaman were ambassadors for Christ, as though God was pleading through them to Naaman and saying, we implore you, O Master, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Go and wash in the Jordan and be made clean. Come to Christ, Master, and be clean. Believe on the Lord and you shall be saved. And if Naaman was healed from leprosy, as Jesus said earlier, then it means he was elect. Naaman belonged to Christ from the teaching of Jesus in Luke chapter 4. So if Naaman was healed, which he was, this is what happened in the Jordan.
That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. God made Christ who knew no sin to be sin in our place, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see the matter of surety again. God made Christ as if he is the sinner or was the sinner, and he punished him to make us righteous. Amen. So the muddy water of Jordan was a picture of Christ. And us who had leprosy left our leprosy as it were on Christ. And we came out of the river clean as Naaman went into the river with leprosy and he came out clean. Naaman went into the river with leprosy, but he came out clean in the river Jordan. So we in Christ, we went in as sinners, but we came out of the river that is Christ as righteous people. That is imputation. So Naaman, verse 14, and we're ending at verse 17. So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So Naaman was finally persuaded to go and wash in the very dead waters of the Jordan. And we're told that his flesh became like that of a little child born yesterday, clean without any blemish. Those are the works of Christ of the Jordan. That kind of cleansing could not be found in the rivers of Damascus. Amen. All who have been washed by and in Christ have their flesh restored like the flesh of a little child. In other words, they've become clean before God. They have been justified from all their sins. They have no spot or wrinkle. They are above blame or reproach. All believers are clean before God. They are not clean because they feel clean. They are clean because God says they are clean. Hear me on that point. You are not clean because you feel clean. You are clean because God says you are clean. That's John 15 teaching by Jesus. I think it's John 15, 6. Jesus said to his disciples, you are clean. You are clean. How? By the word that I've spoken. What? Peter was clean. Remember, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. But Jesus says, Peter is clean. He denied me, but he's clean. Oh. How is that? You're clean because God says you're clean, not because you feel that you're clean. Because your cleanliness is not by what you do. It is in what God has done. Yeah. That's your cleanness. Verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him, and he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. See that Naaman, the Gentile leper, returned to the man of God to praise God for his salvation. As what happened with the Samaritan leper who returned to Jesus after his healing in Luke 17, 15 to 19. Luke 17, 15 to 19. The reason why we read
something is because a lot of people quote scripture that does not go well with what they're saying. So I want to show you how this fits into what I am teaching. Luke 17, 15 to 19. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Those who have been born of God, they come back to give honor to God. They give honor to Christ for their healing, for their salvation. And Christ says to them, arise, go your way. It is well with your soul. Did you hear that? Arise, go your way, because it is well between you and God. You now have a standing with God. Your faith has made you well. Christ has made you well. But Naaman wanted to offer some gifts in exchange for his healing. In other words, Naaman wanted to pay for his healing. And so God had to teach him and say, no, you do not pay for your healing. This matter of your salvation is of grace alone. Amen. And to the glory of God alone. Just praise God for your healing, for you have been made clean, you have been justified. Naaman does not have Romans 11:6. Naaman does not have Romans 11:6. If he had Romans 11:6, he could be helped. Romans 11:6 says, of the matter of salvation. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. Salvation is of grace. If you make it of works, even 1%, then it is no more of grace. It is of works. But if you make it of work, then you can't make it of grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. And God is saying, you are saved 100% grace or by 100% works. You can't mix them. The moment that you mix them, whatever proportion you want to mix, you have messed up everything. Christ profits you nothing. Hear this again. In verse 15, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him. He was bringing his offering to the man of God. Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. And Elisha responds and says, verse 16, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Elisha said he would receive nothing so that Naaman would learn that his healing was all of God's doing. And you cannot buy favor from God. You cannot bring your money to God so that God blesses you. You cannot buy, the gifts of God cannot be bought with money. If God wants to do it,
he does it for free. Again, to the point that I made earlier about surety and to the matter of the Good Samaritan. When the man was brought to the inn by the Good Samaritan, 2 denarii were paid for him. And the Good Samaritan said to the innkeeper, "Do not receive anything from him for payment of his salvation. If there's any other payment, put it to my account. I'll pay for it when I come back." Naaman wants to pay for his salvation from leprosy. And Elisha, representing Jesus, says, "No, no, no. You take your money with you. You cannot buy salvation." Amen. Salvation cannot be bought. It is for free. Okay? Know this. It is for free. It's done. As the Lord lives, I will receive nothing, because it is not of him who runs or he who works, but of God who shows mercy. Verse 17. So Naaman said, "Then, if not, please, let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods but to the Lord." So Naaman was still wanting to get something from this. So he came up with a suggestion to Elisha. He wanted to carry some soil, loads of soil from Israel. Because in Syria, people worshipped false gods. So by carrying the soil or earth from Israel, he was carrying to himself, he thought, the God of Israel with him. He's like, "Man, I'm going to carry this soil. It's good soil. Give me 2 mule loads of this soil so that I can worship there. Let me carry your God with me." He believed, as the people of the time, because they had so many gods that they believed in, that each god had to be worshipped from his own soil. So he's thinking, "There's no way I'm going to go to Syria. God is not there. I'm going to have to carry me some soil with me so that I may build an altar to God with the soil from Egypt." Okay? From Israel. He did not know that God is sovereign, even over Syria, and that it was God who had chosen him for salvation. His salvation had nothing to do with the soil of Israel. Yeah, verse 18. I think that's the last verse from this. "Yet in this thing may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, that is the god of rain and thunder." That was the god of rain and thunder. So they ascribed all kinds of environmental things to gods. The god of rain, the god of the sun, the god of the wind, the god of rain, the god of the flies. Yeah? "May the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing." Naaman says, "I know the truth now, but because of my official position, I still have to observe the rituals of my false religion for the sake of my position and relationship with my master." It was Naaman's duty to participate in this official worship with the king of Syria, even though they were worshiping a false god. So Naaman says to Elisha, "Allow me to take this soil so that I can participate in the false worship of my king, even though I know the truth." Do you see what I'm saying? It is saying, you are hearing the truth now.
And yet next week we're going to still go to the same false church. That's what Naaman is saying. I'm so sorry, but I have no church to go, so I'm going to go back to the false church. Please forgive me for going back to the false church, even though I know the truth.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
May the Lord pardon your servant in this thing that I know the truth now, but I miss my vichita. Tunokenerana. Vikatendo kuchich. But the Lord, I believe, pardoned him because Elijah said to him, verse 19, go in peace. So he departed from him a short distance. Go in peace from God means it is well. Your sins have been forgiven you. We do not know whatever happened to Naaman afterwards as far as his church and fellowship experience. But we know this from Jesus. We know this from Jesus. Let's go to Luke 4. Luke 4, 23 to 30. He said to them, this is Jesus, you surely say this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have had done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. So Jesus is dealing with the Jews and they are opposing him because he had read from Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 2, about his mission to set the captives free and cause the blind to see. And he had come and said, this scripture that was in Isaiah 62 has been fulfilled in your hearing. He came and read it and says, it's talking about me. So the Jews were not happy about Jesus coming and saying, this scripture is talking about you, the son of Mary and Joseph. And showing unbelief, they said, is this not Joseph's son? How can he say Isaiah is talking about him? This is Joseph's son. That's what the text says. Is this not Joseph's son? We know him. Then he said, assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. No prophet is accepted. A lot of people who know that I'm a preacher, they won't come because they know me. But when I go to different places, man, my goodness me, they're like, where did this man come from? Can you stay longer? Can you come back in January? Can you come back in February? No prophet is accepted in his own country. Verse 25, but I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah. When the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, it means there was no rain for 3 years and 6 months in the time of Elijah. And there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath, the widow of Zarephath, in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. So Jesus brought two examples of faith and election with people who were not Israelites, who were not Jews. He brought the story of the widow of Zarephath, who was a Sidonian, which means from Sidon, and she got food from Elijah in 1 Kings 17, 8 to 16, and also Naaman the Syrian. I want you to understand what Jesus is saying. We are closing this. I only have a page or so to go. Jesus said to the Jews who were arguing with him that he was the Christ, that he was salvation. Jesus said there was a great famine, there was hunger throughout the land, and yet God saved this one woman by grace as he did Naaman the Syrian. And yet God did not save everyone who had leprosy in Israel. So Israel was in unbelief in the time of Elijah and Elisha, as it was still in unbelief in the time of Jesus. And yet Jesus says, even though all of Israel is in unbelief, the elect who belong to Christ will believe. Even if it means it's just the one woman who was a widow and Naaman the Syrian. Just for those two, they are good enough for Jesus. So Jesus is talking about election in salvation. He is saying he only saves a few people. Oh, that's amazing to people. People don't want to hear that. They'll kick and scream and say, oh no, but God loves everyone. Go to John 3:16. They do not even know what John 3:16 is talking about. God's elect received healing. They received food, which are pictures of salvation. And yet, they were from among the unclean people who were the Gentiles. And that really made the Jews unhappy, that God would bless the Gentiles instead of them, the Jews. And that the Gentiles like you and I have blessing. We have participation in God's kingdom. So the Jews on hearing this, they came and hugged Jesus for telling them about the story of the widow and that of Naaman. They're like, Jesus, oh, we love you. You're helping us understand this thing. We love you so much. Here, what actually happened? Verse 28. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with anger. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. So they're like, okay, let's get this man. We do not like him. We're going to put him to the cliff of the hill and throw him over. Then, passing through the midst of them, he went his way. You didn't hear that? So all the Jews in the synagogue, they gathered around Jesus. They took him, put him to the edge of the cliff to throw him over so that he may die. And Jesus turned around like this, and he started walking right in the middle of them, and no one touched him because he is God. They would do anything to him. Like, no, you guys are too... They could not kill him. Jesus could not be killed by men. So the point of this war story is this. Salvation came to Naaman because of grace alone, in spite of him being among those who worshipped the false gods. God still came and healed him because Christ will lose none of his sheep. Naaman was elect, and those who say election should not be preached in the gospel are not telling the truth. Election is part of the gospel. We are those who, even though elect, who were born with leprosy, no matter how beautiful we may think of ourselves or others, God still has the one simple prescription for sinners. It is Christ alone, the simplicity of Christ, the foolishness and offense of the gospel. Yes, the dirty and muddy waters of the Jordan really presented an offense to Naaman at the beginning, but the Holy Spirit overcame his objections. And you too, if you have been here with us for the last four messages, including this one, you may have heard things that are offensive to you, things that you are not used to hearing from anybody, things that you do not like. Remember Naaman, he also had the same objections.
He did not agree with God's formula, but God made him willing. God made him clean and come to Christ, because this is the fulfillment of the Jordan River. The washing happened and is only in this Christ. He will make your skin soft. He will make you clean like a child. He will cover you with the righteousness that is no spot or wrinkle. And this formula is simple and it is free, but it is impossible to do without the conviction that God brings by his messenger, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is he who brings conviction to you and I of the things that I've spoken, that they are true, and that God is faithful to what he has promised to do. That is the testimony of Naaman, the great man, the man who thought he was great, but was full of leprosy. God be praised for his message. We are done. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for what you've given me to share with the people, the testimony of Naaman the Syrian, the man who had leprosy, and he got message from a faithful servant, a little girl who came and told him that there was a prophet in Israel, a prophet who could heal him. And he took on his way to Israel and met with the king of Israel, but he did not receive any salvation from the king. Instead, he received condemnation. But messengers were sent from Elisha to call the man Naaman and to give him instruction to go and wash in the Jordan. And initially, because of his ignorance, he refused. But on persuasion, he went and he washed from the muddy waters of Christ, and he was made well. God made him willing in the day of his power. But Naaman had to be taught, just like the rest of us, that salvation is free, it cannot be bought. So he offered gifts to the man of God, Elisha, and Elisha refused because salvation is free. May you teach your people that salvation is free, that it is simple, because it is a simple prescription. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making us clean. We are all clean who believe because of what you did and because of the words that you have spoken. Thank you for bringing me this far, giving me strength to speak these many hours in this heat, to provide for me in every way, to speak the truth, and to bring all these people to hear me. I could not have brought them myself. They have come because you brought them, because you have something to give to them. I pray that you cause them to receive it. You cause them to grow in the knowledge of Christ, to long for Christ, to see the hope that God has given them in Christ, to see that their life is not here in Zimbabwe, but it is hidden in Christ in the heavenly places, where they are blessed and seated with Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Be with us as we go our way. Be with us as we come together in the appointed time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I pray for myself as I get ready to travel in the days to come, to go and be with my family and to go back to work. May you protect me and give me grace to travel these many hours. We honor you, we glorify you. For all things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.